Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program about to enter our 23rd year of broadcasting. For our last show of the decade, we're going to talk about how you can gear up and prosper in a brand new year. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2020 Goals Retreat, January 17th to 19th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the thousands of people that have attended. Hear from some of them and find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2020 Goals Retreat on the third weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, financial strategist and co-host, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
We are almost at the end of the decade, and you may already be in the new decade by the time you're listening, but this is the final Real Estate Guys show of the year, and we thought it would be awesome to talk about the fact that we have a clean slate coming, it's a brand new year, and the things you can be thinking about in these last few quiet days before the new year hits.
Yeah, you know, I say all the time that when you have clarity of vision, strategy and tactics become evident. And, you know, we all want to know how to make money in real estate, or we think about what we're going to do when we make the money. But it's a lot of how to, and sometimes the vision itself isn't that clear. And so it's a great, great time in history to be thinking about clarity of vision, because we're entering 2020 and we all want to see with 2020 vision. So we're going to be talking today about how you can figure out how to go from where you're at to where you want to go. And it starts with getting a vision in your mind of what success looks like really for you.
Yeah, you know, Russ, you have always said when you have clarity of vision, then strategy and tactics become evident. When you know what you're trying to accomplish, then you can figure out what to do. And that's not just some interesting quote. It's how we run our business. Over the last 20 plus years, anytime that we've had a challenge or uncertainty, we sit down and we say, okay, before we talk about what should we go do, let's come all the way back up to what are we trying to accomplish? What's the vision? What's the why? So developing a vision that's compelling is critical.
Yeah, it's the proverbial jigsaw puzzle. You know, there's so many pieces in the world available to you to build whatever you want to build. And the challenge is, if you don't know what the finished product looks like, you can put things in that don't fit. You can spend a lot of time putting things in and then rearranging them and taking them back out again. There's a lot of wasted time, false starts. I mean, Lord knows I've had many in my life, and that's kind of where I came up with that quote, because after a long time of just living and doing business, I came to realize that it's really more important to know what to say no to and then what to say yes to. Because you only have so much time, you only have so much energy, you only have so many resources, you only have so much focus. And if you are trying to say yes to everything, which sounds like a good idea, it's better than saying no to everything. So I'll give you that. But it also wastes a lot of time and resources, because, you know, even though we're told when we're little, hey, you can have it all, you can do it all, that's not really true. I mean, every step of the way, you're making decisions to commit to something to the exclusion of something else. And so you begin to cut off options for yourself as an investor in your personal life, in your personal development, whatever you're doing. You know, not everybody gets to be, a professional baseball player, professional football player, a great actor, a great musician, a great artist. You're probably not going to get that all in into one lifetime. So you're going to have to start to make some decisions about who you are, what you want, what you really want, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do to get it. And if you have relationships in your life, you know, whether it's spouse or children or business partners, you have to take all those things into consideration when you're putting your strategy together. But if you get that clear vision and you can articulate that vision to the people in your life who are helping you and you're working with, then everybody kind of knows what they need to do without a lot of micromanaging. And I found that to be very, very helpful.
Absolutely. And you know, I am a big believer in that you can accomplish anything that you put your mind to, but you can't accomplish everything. I mean, that's it. It's having the discernment of knowing what is really important to you, the things you must have, the things you are totally passionate about, and then the things that are just okay. You know, I just finished reading Ken McElroy's brand new book, which is extraordinary. It's a business novel. It's different than any other book he's written. But a big part of the message is that there are so many people that are doing whatever they're doing to live, thrive, and survive so that one day they can have what they want. It's your two-step that we talk about. Rather than just hate your life so you make enough money so you can love your life, why not design your life so that you absolutely do what you're impassioned to do and that you love most of the time you're doing it, right? There are always going to be problems and challenges, but that's part of the strategy and the fun and the puzzle solving and all of that.
Well, that's the carrot side of it. The stick side of it is what happens. We, you know, the poster child is that guy we met way back in Las Vegas in the day, and this guy had built himself up $1 million a year of net positive cash flow. And he got up every day and he hated every single day of his life.
Yeah.
He hated it. He was working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week,
right,
managing this multifamily property. And he had tried to get out of it and delegate, and he failed at that. And he was in the wrong market, wrong demographic. I mean, a lot of people would love to have had his quote unquote problem. But you know, when you talk to the guy that's living that life and you hear his problem and you see his problem, you realize it's a big problem. And the problem is that you go to work and you build something, you lay that ladder of success against the wrong building or the wrong mountain, and you climb it and you get all the way to the top and you look around, and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm on the wrong hilltop. I climbed the wrong mountain. And now I've got to try to unwind all this and get over to where I really wanted to go. And the thing is, life doesn't give replays. So we talk about this all the time. This is not just some little thing that is, you know, peripheral to your investing. It's fundamental. It's the foundation of everything you do, not just in your investing, but in your income generation and in everything else you do in your life. It's just getting really, really clear on that personal vision of who you really are and what you want and where you want to go.
It's such an important topic. We thought it ought to be the way we round out the year and the decade. And so we're going to give you some tools today that you can use to actually get there, not just to be thinking about what you want your future to look like, but some tools. And you know, you mentioned vision, Russ, and I think we talk about mission, vision, and values, which are three different things. But when you think about those together, that can really help you chart your course.
Yeah, well, the vision is what success looks like in very clear terms, you know. And the thing is, you can't get completely clear. You're not going to see where you're going to be 20 or 30 years from now. You won't be that clear. You'll have kind of a general fuzzy feeling in a direction you're moving in. But the clarity that you have to have, you know, you work to have as much clarity as you can, and then you begin to work towards that. And you make course adjustments along the way. Mission is not about what success looks like, what the lifestyle looks like. It's the why behind what you do. It's the reason it matters. And I'll just say this, and I'm not passing judgment on anybody, but I've been on both sides of it. If your entire motivation is about indulgence and self-serving and what you want and getting from the world so that you can have enjoyment, I think that you'll end up being very unhappy. That was my experience and my observation and the many people that I've seen in my decades on this earth.
Right.
What I've really found is that the mission usually is about making a difference in the community, making a difference for your spouse, making a difference for your children, making a difference for your friends, for your family, for the people that work with you, the people on your team. And when you get up every day and you're motivated to support that guy or gal who's next to you and that team of people that's around you, or to make the world better, that's a mission. That's a why. And so you have to have that. The value component is really about the methodologies, what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. A lot of people think, oh, if I could just make enough money, then I could be successful. Well, you could go rob a bank. You know, you could extort somebody. You could blackmail somebody. There's a lot of things you could do that are evil. and harmful to the world, you know, and make you money. So, if money is the litmus test of success, well, then I'm a success. But not really, because I think most people have a conscience and they're not going to say, well, I don't want to harm other people to be prosperous. So these things, vision, mission, and values, they all go together. And you got to get clear on all of them so that you can begin to move forward in a way that is really going to be congruent with who you are. Because it's kind of, I think, scripted into your DNA. Most of us just don't take the time to dig down deep enough to find it by design. We find it by default. We wake up one day and go, oh my God, I'm miserable. Or I did this and I feel terrible about it. I made this big mistake. I hurt somebody. I lost a bunch of money. You know, you can't always avoid that because there's a lot of lessons in those mistakes, and that's great. But you really can learn a lot from looking around you and learning from other people's mistakes. Why we do Halloween horror stories. And we talk openly about our failures, probably even more so than we talk about our successes. So, you know, all of these things are part of the process.
Boy, they sure are. And how do you start? Well, I think the place to start is values. And you probably haven't taken the time to articulate your values. Every year at the Create Your Future Goals Retreat, we spend the first night talking a lot about what values are important to people. And so a great exercise is just to come up with the 6 top values in your life. Sounds easy, but it will take you some time. Now, rather than come up with a list of 1,000 values, which you probably could, it's the things that really, really matter to you in life, not just in real estate, in life. What's important? What do you value the most? And if you'll spend some time and go through those things and make a list of 20 and then try to get down to the 5 or 6 that really encapsulate who you are, now you can look at them and go, yeah, those are the values I have. From there, you know what it is that you want in terms of lifestyle. And if you're not clear, spend some time thinking about it. Where do you want to live? With who do you want to live? How do you want to spend your days and hours and weeks? What are the things that are important to you? And then the mission part, that's the purpose, the passion, the thing that is the overarching bigness to your plan. That's not just about you. It's the dent you can make in the world. And this is an exercise that takes some time, but it's a great time of year with a brand new year approaching to just really get clear, find some quiet, some solitude. And if you're a writer, then journal. If you're a thinker, then just put yourself in the most conducive environment for thought. If you're an auditory like I am, I like to have some instrumental music, whatever it is that inspires you, and get clear. Most people won't take the time to do it. And because of that, they lack the clarity it takes to get everything that you want in this world.
Well, the thing is, because most people won't do it and don't do it, the people who do have a distinct advantage. You know, Stephen Covey in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, talks about how effective people begin with the end in mind. They visualize what success looks like, where they want to go, and they always hold that in their mind. You know, it's probably not a secret. I shared it with our newsletter readers, but I just lost my wife after 41 years of marriage. And, you know, when you go through that last year and you're reflecting back on your life and you're thinking about all the things that you did, but then you also think about all the things that have been left undone. And you think about all the things that you did instead of the things that got left undone. And I got to tell you, you get to the stage in life, if you've never been there, with some regrets, because you say, gosh, you know, I spent a lot of time doing thus and so, and I really left something important off the table because I wasn't as clear as I needed to be. And so if you have the ability in your mind's eye to move forward into the future and imagine yourself at your deathbed or with your spouse at the end of the rainbow, and you're reflecting back on the life you've lived, and you can have that in your mind's eye when you're living your life today for however much more life God gives you on this earth, it can really help you make better decisions. And I'm grateful for this experience I just went through, as bad as it's been and as sad as I am. And I'm very excited for this new year because I'm starting a brand new life. I've never lived in a day of my adult life without my wife in it. And now I'm a different person. I have a different set of circumstances. I get to find out who I am, and I get to go work on things that I, you know, haven't worked on. And it's interesting. So, you know, if you're somebody that is like me in a place of like transition, whether you're just starting out in life and you're having your first child. I remember when my wife and I went through that, and I went through the goal setting process and thought about what kind of a father I wanted to be, what I was going to do with my career to support my family. And then, you know, of course, later in life now, I'm thinking about what am I going to do now that I'm a single grandfather and trying to figure out how to navigate life in my new reality. And whether you've lost a relationship or suffered an injury or a financial setback like I did in 2008, you know, there's going to be times in your life where you go through a big change and you're a little bit raw and open. And if you're at that place, I encourage you to listen to this show over again, but come out to the Goals Retreat, Create Your Future, and go through that process. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in that seat. I'm going to be going through it. I'm probably going to have boxes and boxes of Kleenex with me, but I'm going to get all that stuff out, and I'm going to get it out on paper, and I'm going to get a new vision for my new life without my wife. I miss her, but you know, these things happen in life. It's something that every investor should be doing, because you can get so caught up in the doing, in the making of money, in the pursuit of prosperity, thinking that someday down the road with enough money, I'll be able to do all these things. And it really can be much more integrated. We learned that later in our investing career. And we've talked about that too. You know, as Robert, as you and I have gone through the different experiences and different markets and market cycles, you know, we got to a point where we said, gosh, you know, we're getting a little long in the tooth. And we're at a place where we can kind of do whatever we want to do. So there's certain markets and product classes and investment strategies we just don't use. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just not right for us. And I think that that makes life a lot easier when deals come across your desk, opportunities, because, you know, in our position, phone rings a lot. People bring us stuff all the time, and we say no to way more than we say yes to. And that's actually quite freeing. And it allows you to focus on the things that really do matter.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, because we've been going through this, obviously, for quite some time. And the idea of stopping from time to time, whether it's because of a major life change or just to take a quick time out and check in. So many people just go, 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 do. They're working it. Like Michael Gerber talks about being on the hamster wheel, doing it, that you don't step back and look at the bigger picture. And why wait until the very end of your life to figure out that, oh, I did it wrong? You're always going to have regret. Hindsight is like that. When you look back and you say, man, I could have done this and I could have done this differently and I should have done this, that's always going to happen. But if you wait till the end to do it, there's nothing you can do to change the outcome. Today, wherever you are, if you're in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or your 90s, there's something you can do to readjust and focus forward. And that's what we're talking about today. It's how to gear up for the new year and, in fact, the new decade. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from February 7th to 10th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 14 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful. And wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2018 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year will likely beat it. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me February 7th through 10th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market is interesting to you. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. And we'll have a very special guest. Super syndicator Dave Zook will join us to share how he's raised more than $150 million in the last 5 years and why he loves Belize. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize, February 7th through 12th, 2020. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Frank Holmes, Chief Investment Officer and CEO of U.S. Global Investors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio show. Thanks for tuning in today and all of these years. It's amazing, about to be in our 23rd year of broadcast, which is just exceptional. We are so appreciative of our listeners and all the support that you've given us, continue to give us. If you've just found us, well, you're late to the party. No, it's all good. We're happy that you're here. And the numbers are growing and more people listening to podcasts, and we love all that. It is a brand spanking new year. No one's made any mistakes yet. And one of the things you want to look at when you start a new year is another tool we're going to give you. And this is something that maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't, but it's what we call start, stop, continue. That is, you set back at the end of a year and you look at your year and you say, of all the things that I'm doing, what are the things that I should keep doing, continue doing? They've served me well. I've done great in this area or this market or with this partner. Awesome. Those are the things you want to continue. And then you have to say, well, what are the things I need to stop? There are some activities and habits in your life that haven't served you this last year. So what are those things? Maybe it has to do with the way you spend your time. Maybe it has to do with a personal or business partnership. Maybe it's a market that you're in that was great when you got into it and it's not so great now. So are there things in your life that you should stop doing? And then finally you say, okay, if I've stopped doing some things and I've continued to do some things, what can I add to my plate? What should I start doing? Those could be new habits, new beliefs, new partnerships, new markets, new product types, new activities, getting around new people, new social groups. So this, again, is an exercise that takes some time. And you have to, as Jim Collins says, confront the brutal facts. Hey, you know what? That particular activity that I do every week isn't serving me. It isn't making me smarter or brighter. It isn't helping me make that dent in the world that I want to make. It isn't great for my family. Whatever those things are, we're not here to lecture about it. You just have to get clear on what are the things that I need to just erase. What we often say is sometimes you have to say no to the good in order to say yes to the great. If you're busy, like most successful people are, you don't have a lot of quote-unquote extra time. So what you have to do is you have to make some room in your schedule. And there are some things that have come off your plate. That could be through delegation. That could be because they're unnecessary. Or it could be just because you wake up one morning and go, you know, what am I doing? Why am I'm building my ladder of success against the wrong wall. And then there's the things that are new that you're excited about, the things that you want to get started on. And whatever phase you're in, there probably are a couple of new things that could help, whether it's just a nuance, whether it's some particular training you want to take, whether it's something you want to get better at. Maybe there's a missing piece in your strategy and your structure, and you want to go figure that out. So this is the whole concept of start, stop, continue.
Yeah, I think that's really important because you can't really create more time. You can leverage time. You can get more done in the same amount of time, either by being more personally productive or through delegation and good organization. But even in order to do that, you're going to have to make great use of the time that you do have. So I've gone through this little process because I'm at this transition point in my life. And I wrote this in my journal the other day. I called it the way forward. And it was just a three-step process. And for me, the first one was to create more and better energy. And so, obviously I took a big emotional hit. I'm kind of like chugging along, trying to get my mojo back, if you will. And I know I will because I have great friends, great family. I've got a mission I believe in. I love what I do. But when your life changes the way mine has, you take a big hit. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I could get away with not eating as good. I could get away with drinking maybe a little bit too much every once in a while. And I feel like right now I can't get away with that. I got to create better energy. So to me, that's number one. And I've got, a whole bunch of stuff I do underneath that. But the first thing to do is really look at yourself and ask yourself, how can I create more and better energy in my life? Second thing is create productive structure. And the first structure, my list is my time. How do I allocate my time in order to spend all the place I need to spend, not get overwhelmed, make sure I have points of refreshment, points of focus and clarity, that I'm investing in the relationships that are important. I'm investing in myself, loving myself, taking time to take care of myself, feed my mind, feed my soul, all that. And then, you know, got your space, how you're going to structure that so you can be productive, home and office and studio, the three things on my list. You get legal and financial structure. Some of that's changed for me now because, you know, my status has changed and there's things I have to deal with. And then, of course, it's just if you're building a team, you know, how do you organize your personnel to get things done? So there's all of that. And then the third one, so the first one is create more and better energy. The second one is create productive structure. And the third one is, we've talked about it already, establish clear goals, strategies, and action plans. Because now you've got things that need to be done and you allocate them into a schedule and a structure so that you can actually focus on them and do them. And then you bring your positive energy that you've created because you're taking care of your body and you're feeding your mind and your spirit. And then you begin to get things done. So that's my plan for 2020. I'm excited about it. I'm going through that process myself right now. It doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a weekend. It takes some time. I'm already starting on it and I'll probably put the finishing touches on it at the Create Your Future event in Las Vegas, January 17th through to the 19th.
Yeah, that is awesome stuff. And again, thanks for sharing that. And there's so many tools at your fingertips, but it's just one of those things people don't take the time to stop and think about this stuff. It's really amazing. You know, Zig Ziglar says that most people spend more time planning their annual vacation than they do planning their life. And sadly, that is the truth. When you're thinking about a vacation, boy, you're Googling all around and you're getting the travel brochures and you're talking to people and you're looking at different resorts and you're planning your flights. And I mean, you're putting a lot of time into it. If you'd spend that same amount of time planning out your life and your mission and your vision and your values and your day and your structure, it maybe isn't exciting, but it's got to be done. To me, it is completely inspiring and exciting. So if you haven't had a chance to do some of this, just give yourself the gift of this time. Whether you come out to the event or not, that's a great place to have it kind of, you know, happen in front of you and involve you in it. But just find the time to get clear on this. So good stuff. The next thing I want to talk about is really fits in with this whole start, stop, continue. And it's something I learned from Brian Tracy many years ago. It's the idea of zero-based thinking. And here's the question. Knowing what I now know, what would I do differently? So knowing what I now know, would I get into this relationship? Knowing what I now know, would I get into this particular development? Knowing what I know now, would I get into this marketplace? Knowing what I now know, would I get into business with this vendor? Would I hire this particular service provider? That's zero-based thinking. And if the answer to any of those things is, well, no, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done that, then when would now be a good time to change it? Right? I mean, we instantly go to all the relationships that aren't working well when we think this way. And it's like, okay, maybe you don't have the greatest accountant, but it's a known commodity, the devil you know. All right, well, I've had this accountant and, you know, he or she really isn't all that great and doesn't seem to know that much about cost segregation or whatever it is. It might be time for you to get the wake-up call and go, hey, it's going to be hard to sever a tie like that, but maybe it's time. And that's just one example. Sometimes those are personal relationships. Jim Rohn would talk about the idea that you have to limit your association with certain people. You probably have certain people in your life that don't affect you in a positive way. Maybe they're old friends, maybe they're relatives. When you spend time with them, you just don't feel as good about yourself, about where your life's going. It doesn't mean you cut them out of your life necessarily. But it might mean that you limit your association, or it might be with an activity. Maybe you're watching too much television. A little television could be fine, but too much television rots your life away. Again, not trying to lecture. This is all about you deciding what's important to you, but just practice the art of zero-based thinking. So just ask yourself, knowing what I know today, would I do some of the things I've done in the past?
I had a period in my life where I tried day trading stocks, and I was pretty successful at it. But one of the things that I found out was the kiss of death was failing to admit a bad deal, a bad trade. You'd hang on to it and ride it all the way down to the bottom instead of cutting your losses as soon as you knew that you made a mistake. And it comes back to what you said earlier about confronting the brutal facts. So zero-based thinking only works if you're willing to be brutally honest with yourself. You have to admit, this is a mistake. This was a bad investment. This was a bad career choice. This is a bad relationship I made a commitment to, I need to get out of. I mean, sometimes it's hard. And so, you know, it's easy to say when you're listening to a podcast or a radio show and you're like, oh yeah, I got to do this, I got to do that. But when you're staring the admission, especially when there's other people involved and you're coming out and saying, well, I'm going to change this thing in my life, effectively what you're saying is that I made a mistake. And don't let your ego get in the way of making the correction, because I can tell you it's far worse to hold on to something longer than you should and write it down. There were times in 2008 when everything was unraveling and I was a bit paralyzed. I wasn't able to react as quickly as I should have because I was just embarrassed. Here I am, you know, I'm teaching seminars, I'm writing books, I'm on the radio, and my portfolio is just imploding. And I'm thinking, well, if I do this, then I'm admitting I made a mistake. I'm admitting I was wrong. Well, you know what? I was going to be found out for the mistakes I made anyway. The thing is, if I would have just addressed it a little sooner, I could have mitigated some of those losses. So I think that this concept of zero-based thinking is easy to say in theory, but in practice, you're going to have to deal with your ego and your fear of failure. And I say, just get over it. Jim Collins said it best, confront the brutal facts, because until you do, you can't make good decisions.
So true. John Maxwell wrote a great book called Failing Forward, the idea that you're going to fail. No one's ever not going to make mistakes. No one's ever going to not screw up. We all screw up. We were going to do a show about our screw-ups, but our show's only an hour, so we don't have anywhere near enough time to go over all of our screw-ups. So you have to just go, you know what? It wasn't my best day. Some days you're the windshield, some days you're the bug. And when you make a mistake, the sooner you own it, and the sooner you decide what you can do about it to avoid it or make it better in the future, the better. And that's what this is about. Zero-based thinking is using your past, not as a club to beat yourself up with, but as a university to learn from. Today, we're talking about gearing up for the new year. We've got a lot more practical ideas and things you can do, and we're going to play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com. If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry, even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, best-selling author of Tax-Free Wealth, and you're listening to Real Estate Guys Radio.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. If you're a new listener, well, then subscribe to the podcast. If you're with us again, well, welcome back. It's been an awesome year at the Real Estate Guys. We're looking forward to an incredible 2020. We're talking today about gearing up for a new year, in fact, a new decade. Before we get back to that discussion, it's time to play real estate trivia. Every week we give away a prize to the person that can come up with the answer to our real estate trivia question first. As soon as you hear the question and think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. First person with the right answer is going to win an awesome prize and a perfect prize for this time of the year. It's a book called The One Thing That Changed Everything, a collection of stories from amazing people who came to a point in their life, a pivotal point, and made a directional shift, and you're going to love this book. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, we were talking about high tenant demand and zero deferred maintenance and build-to-rent property with Steve Olson. We asked this, what city was known as the Christmas pickle capital of the world? Well, a lot of interesting guests there, but the answer is a small place called Berrien Springs in the state of Michigan. It's a tradition, and it actually originated, I believe, in Germany, that an ornament shaped like a pickle is placed on a Christmas tree as a decoration. On a Christmas morning, the first child that finds the pickle on the tree receives an extra present. So that's originated in Germany, and then this particular area of Michigan embraced it, and they created a parade, and they had pickle ornaments that they sold and all kinds of cool stuff. Anyway, they held the parade from 1992 until about 2003. Today, they are still known in that area of Michigan for cucumber production, but they aren't active, being the pickle capital of the world. I guess they couldn't handle it. So that's last week's show. This week, here's our real estate trivia question. Which country in the world is the first to observe the new year? Yeah, when the new year hits, who celebrates first? What country? Now, actually, there's more than one answer, but we're going to accept the first correct answer. Whichever is the first answer that is one of the answers, probably three countries, one's the bigger one. But if you know or just want to guess or quickly look it up, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Which country is the first to celebrate a new year or a new day or a new decade? The first with the right answer gets the one thing that changed everything. That's today's real estate trivia question. It's our final show of the year, and we're talking about how you can prepare and get ready for a brand new year. And part of it is figuring out where you are now. There's kind of different phases of an investor. Many people listening, maybe you don't yet own investment property. So your transition is to become an investor, and there's certain steps required there. Maybe you've got a couple of properties under your belt, but it's time for you to make a shift. And now you want to get to bigger stuff. You've been investing in little greenhouses. It's time to buy a red hotel. Or maybe you're at one of the big transition areas, and that is maybe you've been building up a portfolio, and now you want to retool that to create the income you need for the rest of your life. So the first thing to do is to figure out, what phase are you in?
Yeah, I think that's really important, because I think ultimately getting from where you are to where you want to go is defining where you're at and defining where you want to go, and then figuring out the path, the steps you can take. And one of the things that I was thinking about, I watched this YouTube video Simon Sinek did, and he was talking about the millennials, and we all hear about the millennials. I've got a bunch of millennials in my life. I think that there's some things get painted with a bit of a broad brush, so I don't want to disparage an entire generation. But he was talking about one of the things that employers are finding, that millennials come in and they want to start higher up than they're ready to be at based on their experience or their training or their capabilities. You know, he talks about that comes from a generation that was raised getting participation trophies, that were told they could have anything they want, they could do anything they want, and that they were special. And then they get out in the real world and they find out that they're really not special until they go do something special. In other words, they have potential, but they haven't developed that potential into ability. And even those that have ability, until they put the work in, really haven't taken that ability and put some points on the scoreboard and got some achievements to point out. We talk about this in our syndication mentoring program. You have to start with where you're at, with what you have to work with. And I think that that's true when you're talking about how you're going to get from point A to point B. And so the self-assessment is like, where am I really at? What do I really bring to the party? And that's both in your personal productivity, your mindset, your skills, your attitude, all of that stuff. It's in your finances. What do you have in your portfolio? Do you have cash, credit, time, talent, relationships, equity? You know, what do you have to work with? What can you bring to a deal, especially if you're syndicating? The whole point of syndicating is you're coming in with what you have, and you're partnering that with someone who has something you need, and you're creating a win-win transaction where you both bring something and you both get something. But you can't play that game if you don't know what's in your hand. And so this concept of self-assessment is a very, very important thing to take the time to do. Robert, I know you do a great job leading people through that process right at the very beginning of the Create Your Future event, because people often are either too humble or they're too arrogant. And trying to get that balance where you can be honest about where you're really at goes back to what we talked about earlier before the break about confronting the brutal facts. Some of the facts are, hey, you've got some great talent. You've got some great skills. You've got some great potential needs to be developed. Maybe you need to hire a coach, a mentor, whatever you need to develop that thing a little bit further. Maybe you've got some glaring holes, some character flaws, things you really need to go to work on. Sometimes better to get exposed in the privacy of a journaling session where you're being guided through a process than actually in the middle of a deal where there's, you know, maybe lawsuits floating around or you succumb to temptation that you shouldn't have because you didn't put up guards because you had this character weakness and you were aware of it, but you didn't really take any precautions. So there's a lot of things to think about at the front end of deciding how am I going to get from point A to point B. And it all starts with a really good, accurate assessment of where you are right now in all the areas that matter.
As a real estate investor, you don't just go up in a steady incline. It's kind of like there are phases and plateaus. So you move along and maybe you get a couple properties under your belt. And you're feeling pretty good about investing in real estate on the side while you've got a job or a business. And then you get to the point where you're like, wow, this income from real estate is starting to really look good and the tax benefits. And so now you decide you want to get into a little bigger property and take maybe a little more risk or just a little more aggressive stance. And that works out well. You know, a lot of folks make the transition from single family homes to multifamily. That's been a big part of how people evolve as an investor. The next kind of evolution might be into another commercial, a triple net property, a property that's even less of a day-to-day involvement and more of a passive investment. You could do that through investing in a syndication or investing in a big tenant in common situation. And then you get to the point where you want to be more active, more hands-on, and maybe you transition into, like you were talking about, Russ, syndication, raising money. You're good at finding deals. You're good at putting this stuff together. You understand structure, but you run out of your own capital resources and your own ability to qualify. So you go get that stuff. And we're big proponents of syndication. Or maybe it's time for you to step up and start a property management company, a real estate development company, something like that. We don't know what the answer is for you, but you do. You just have to say, based on where I am right now, the phase that I am in my investment career, what's next? Is it another 10 years of the same? And by the way, that might be the right answer. Hey, I just want to keep acquiring two properties a year. It's worked for me so far. All right. If it's not broken, I guess don't fix it. But it may be that it's time for you to start thinking, what is the next level? If you were going to jump up a level, and I love this idea of Simon Sinek's that you can't jump too many steps ahead. We love collapsing time frames. That's a big part of what we do with the Real Estate Guys. We help folks to do it faster because more sooner is better. But you don't get to start at the top. Not only that, you can't really have the perspective unless you've gone through the stages. You know, getting to third base is great, but if you didn't go to first base and then second base, it doesn't count. So you've got to go through the process. Everyone who was at the front of the line was once at the back of the line.
If you don't get out of the line.
If you don't get distracted, if you don't decide, oh, there's a better line somewhere. Because if you're just line jumping, you're never making it to the front. So the phases you go through as an investor are going to be dependent on what you want to accomplish. But just, it's a great time of the year to be thinking about that stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot to think about. We'll have even some more ideas when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
When it comes to successful rental property investing, it pays to be picky. Pick the right markets, pick profitable properties, and pick great property management. That's easier said than done, but we've got great news. Terry Kerr and his rockstar team at Mid-South Homebuyers are going strong in Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas, too. So for a top-notch turnkey single-family home rental property, whether you're a new investor or have a large portfolio already, pick Terry Kerr and Mid-South for a truly A-plus investing experience. To learn more, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Real Estate Guys listeners, are you tired of losing real estate deals due to financing issues? Have you had enough of waiting on banks, lenders, and investor groups to fund new projects? What if there were a way to eliminate all the hassle and invest in real estate on your own terms? I'm here to tell you there is. Patrick Donahoe here from Paradigm Life. I'm an Investopedia top 100 most influential financial advisor, and I recently wrote a best-selling book about the financial strategy that changed my entire investment model and the one that could change yours. To get a copy of my book for free and learn how you can maximize your real estate portfolio by acting as your own bank, send an email to mybank@realestateguysradio.com. Don't make another real estate deal without reading my book first. Email mybank@realestateguysradio.com now to get your copy for free.
Having trouble finding deals where the numbers make sense? Invest in an asset class that delivers cash flow to you in good times and bad, and where most of that cash flow is tax-free. I'm Dave Zook. Many of you have heard me speak at Real Estate Guys events or heard me on their podcast. My team is a top 5 ATM operator in the country, and right now accredited investors can make cash flow returns well into the double digits and get huge tax deductions. For your free report on this lucrative asset class, email atm@realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, this is Phil Collin from Def Leppard and Delta D. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today, and Happy New Year. If you want to get clear on your goals, come on out to Create Your Future. It happens the third weekend of the new year in Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. You get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. We'll spend 2.5 days together helping you get crystal clear on who you are, who you want to be, what you want to accomplish, and then put an action plan together to get it all done. It's an amazing event, the highest rated event we do every year. There's still time for you to make it. We're talking today about gearing up for the new year. It is a brand spanking clean, shiny new year. So what are some things you can do? I think one of the other transitions, Russ, that we might want to talk about is for some folks, they're ready to go from a part-time real estate investor to a full-time investor where it becomes their primary vocation.
I think a lot of people, when they get into real estate investing, are trying to escape something. And I'm a big believer that you don't run away from something, you run to something. I just think that life works out better when you do that. Sometimes you can jump from the frying pan into the fire. But real estate is a great vehicle, of course, because you can build up streams of passive income, you can create lots of equity fairly quickly, you have a great degree of control over that, what we call forcing equity. And when you get to the point where you've proven to yourself and then potentially to investors that you have the ability to make money with the vehicle of real estate, it's a great time to be thinking about, hey, how do I do this full time so I can speed things up? But there are some things to think about. And I think it's important. Get around some people that are full time. Figure out what their life looks like. There's a lot of different ways to approach full time investing. You can be Mr. or Miss Hands-on Everything, managing the property, finding the deals, negotiating the deals, arranging the financing, running the rehab crews, tenanting, landlording, all of that. I think that most people who do anything on scale build teams. They may keep the pieces that they really enjoy because that's part of their lifestyle decision. They may organize the whole thing so it just runs on autopilot and they fool around and go do other things with their life and just let the machine run. That can be a great way to do it. It's really up to you. But the thing is, you have to understand who you need to be to play the game and the role the way you want it to be. And you probably, unless you're an extremely disciplined, talented person, you're going to have some things missing. Some of those things are things you're going to need to work on because there's certain things that you just have to have if you're going to be successful running something or building something. Most of the time, you can go get other people, and then you have to be good at a few things that are required when you're building a team and leading a team. So these are all things to be thinking about in terms of how do I get there. Robert Kiyosaki writes a great book, and it's one of his lesser known books. He's famous for Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but one of our favorite books is Before You Quit Your Job, and he talks about really what being an entrepreneur is, because anytime you decide to go full-time into anything where the buck stops on your desk, you're 100% responsible for the results you produce, and you take 100% of the hit if things go wrong, that's called being an entrepreneur. And real estate as a business is an entrepreneurial venture. And so it's really smart to get around some entrepreneurs and look at their lifestyle, look at their mindset, and ask yourself, hey, is that a lifestyle I could live? Am I capable of doing that? You know what? If the answer is no, there's no shame in that. work your job, build your portfolio, build up your passive income, and you don't really go full-time into real estate investing. You just kind of retire on your real estate investments. That's okay. Going full-time in real estate investing is about accelerating how quickly you're building wealth and how much good you can do, and then building, I think, a lifestyle that you really want to live and where you're doing what you want to do more and you're not tethered to a job. So those are some things to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say part of that before you quit your job is just take caution. And we see people quit too soon way more often than we see people quit too late, right? So people take their foot off the gas, they jump into their new exciting real estate career, and then they discover, for instance, that they aren't in a regiment or a routine. They're used to working for someone else that dictates their schedule and makes sure that they're productive. And when it's you floating in outer space, right? So maybe you're a business owner, maybe you're a self-starter, that's all good. But if you're thinking about that transition or any transition, just spend the time to think through it. Anytime, it's like learning to type, right? Today, maybe you don't even need that skill if you can just dictate everything. But the faster you learn a skill, the better you'll be able to implement that and save time in the long run. I think, you know, Gary Keller's book, The One Thing, which is different than the book we gave away, The One Thing That Changed Everything, also a great book. But Gary Keller wrote a book called The One Thing, which is a great clarity-finding book. There's a lot of good stuff in there. He talks about the six myths. He talks about the definitely tools and techniques you can use. But I think the big thing in there is the clarifying question, which is, what one thing could you do that in so doing would make everything else either easier or unnecessary? That is a world-class question. There may be one thing you can do that makes everything else easier or makes everything else unnecessary. And I know, Russ, you've spent some time with this.
Absolutely. I mean, in answering that question and then acting upon that answer and implementing on a day-to-day basis, you just continue to build more and more and more leverage into your life because you're always trying to find a way to do more with less personal effort. That's leverage. So you have to start with where you're at. You know, when my wife was first diagnosed with her illness and I knew that there was a possibility that she would go short time and I was going to need to be in a position where I could focus all my time and attention on her in the final days, weeks, months of her life. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Fortunately, we had 2 or 3 years to get some things in place. And when I asked myself that clarifying question, it was 9 hours locked in a hotel room in Salt Lake City. I'd gone to visit a friend out there because I felt like I needed a different perspective from somebody that had successfully built a team. Said, how do I build this thing better? And I ended up bringing that book because I thought that was the answer. I read it over and over and over again and came out, you know, I need to design and build a team. And then I went to work on that. And of course, inside of that, okay, what is the one thing I got to do to design and build a team? I have to find somebody to help me build it because I knew I was weak in that area. And then I had to go find that person. And then what's the one thing I can do to help that person? What's the one thing I need to do to help the team? And every day asking that question little by little. And then one day you wake up. And in my case, I got the bad news. My wife was very, very ill. I needed to spend gobs of time with her. And I was able to step away and do that because I had put myself in a position to do that by thinking ahead. And so the things we're talking about to you today, wherever you're at in life, whatever transitions, you never know when life is going to throw you a curveball, a hard ball right to the gut. And you just never know when that's going to happen. The more prepared you are to react to the unexpected, whether you're preparing for a potential financial reset, financial collapse, another recession, depression, whether you're concerned about sickness, illness, or some opportunity that you want to be prepared to answer if it comes along, there's things that you can begin to do to build freedom into your life, flexibility into your life, and leverage is the key. Gary Keller's book, The One Thing, is really the process by which you begin to implement leverage directly into your time and then ultimately into your finances. And then you end up with the freedom that I think most real estate investors are looking for. Real estate is famous for leverage. And a lot of people only look at it from the financial perspective. I know, you know, being the financial strategist, I always did. But there's so much more on the entrepreneurial side about time. And if you can leverage money and time, that's the path to freedom.
To me, one of the best tools you have in your toolbox is the ability to set and achieve goals. And there's still time to join us for Create Your Future. Our annual goal setting retreat happens the third weekend of the new year in Lake Las Vegas. Get all the details at realestateguysradio.com under events. Here's to making 2020 an amazing year, building up your 2020 vision. We look forward to bringing you a whole year of amazing shows and great guests, and hope to see you at a Real Estate Guys event soon. Have a happy new year, an amazing new decade, and until next year, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.